Thank you for inviting me to be here and worship with you this morning. As Cameron mentioned, I'm the pastor of Common Life Church and Farm in Saxpaha, and as a new church start, we are meeting twice a month, which allows me to have the time to meet with you all this morning. Let us pray. God, may the words of my heart and the meditations of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Soil is an amazing thing. It is a living system. Did you know that there are more microorganisms in one handful of soil than there are humans on the planet? Soil is made up of 25% water, 25% air, and 50% minerals and organic matter, meaning rock fragments and decaying plants and animals. Soil uses that decaying life to provide the nutrients for new plant life. Soil is important for protecting the ecosystem and the earth. Soil filters out pollutants from groundwater, and it greatly reduces flood risk by storing up to 92,000 metric tons of water per acre. Soil also sequesters carbon, holding approximately 10% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions. It takes 500 years to naturally produce just 1 inch of topsoil, which is the most productive and nutrient-dense layer of soil. Last summer, a good friend visited my family's farm in southern Alamance County, and after we had a delicious summer feast, including our farm's heirloom tomatoes, okra, sweet corn, and our pasture-raised pork, my friend was very satisfied, and he gratefully declared that this was the perfect seed-to-stomach meal. And I really appreciated that, and I said, that's true, but you know, the farmer would take it one step further and say that it's a soil-to-stomach meal. Even though soil is at the bottom of the food chain, it's the cornerstone of life on earth. Ask any farmer and she'll tell you that her most important job is cultivating the soil. The crops won't grow if the soil is depleted, so the farmer adds compost, manure, leaf mulch, wood chips, and grows cover crops in her fields to assist this process of regenerative soil. Soil plays an important part in the creation story that we read today. The storyteller sets the scene of a newly created yet barren earth, and then explains that the reason there is no life is because of two things. One, God has not yet caused it to rain, and two, there was no one to till the ground. To solve that first problem, God causes a river to rise up and water the earth. To solve the second problem, God reaches down into the soil and forms a human from the raw, damp earth. Traditionally, we call this human Adam, which in Hebrew correlates with the word Adama, meaning earth. Adam, the earth man. After God creates Adam, God gets into a flurry of creation. God creates an entire lush garden with everything needed to sustain life. Then God takes Adam and makes his home in this abundant garden. It's now Adam's opportunity to delight in God's creation and his responsibility to tend to it. He is there. The role of Adam, the earth man, is to care for this new creation, to tend the earth from which he was created. At the beginning of this Lenten journey, Ashes were smeared on our foreheads, and we're reminded, from dust you came, and to dust you will return. We are formed from the earth. We live in interdependence with the earth, and our bodies return to the earth. God is the cosmic creator, and we are part of God's life, death, resurrection story. The 40 days of Lent are a journey toward Easter, placing us squarely in God's life, death, resurrection story. The season of Lent is a time of wilderness reflection and an invitation to a whole new way of thinking. In the Gospels and the New Testament, the language used for this whole new way of thinking is that of repentance. In the original Greek, the word used is metanoia. Meta means change, and noia means mind. And today we might use the phrase a change of mindset or a change of heart. The life, death, resurrection story is a journey into a whole new way of thinking and being. In the gospel reading today, Jesus tells a parable about a fig tree that is not bearing fruit. The vineyard owner wants to cut the tree down, but the gardener intervenes. The gardener argues that with better care, the fig tree may produce fruit within the next year. So I have some experience growing trees. My daughter was born in October, and at her baby shower, we planted trees for her. We got this idea from our friend Howard, who has West African heritage, and in his family's tradition, his culture's tradition, is to plant trees that the child will need when he or she grows up. So the trees planted at the baby's birth will grow up to provide timber for a home, fiber for clothing and other materials, and the staple fruits and nuts of that diet. He also mentioned that it's really cute when his 4-year-old son can pick pear trees off of the tree that's just his size because it's grown up alongside of him. So we borrowed this idea and planted trees to welcome our baby girl as a symbol of our commitment to care for her and provide for her as she grows up. We planted a small backyard orchard of fruit trees, nut trees, and one magnolia, because that's her middle name. For each tree, we used up to 6 different amendments to fertilize the soil, carefully placing them and layering them in the ground. And then we set the tree up for success by placing wood chips all around it to keep the weeds away. The gardener in the parable offers to use manure to fertilize the fig tree. Maybe the soil it is planted in is not nutritious enough for the tree to bear fruit. You can't just put a tree in the ground and expect it to thrive. It does require some nourishment. Sometimes we are like the fig tree that needs a little extra nourishment. Jesus calls us to repent, to have a change of heart, which will bear the fruit of compassion, kindness, and justice. We need to be planted in soil that will nourish us and encourage us to bear this fruit. We need community that supports and challenges us. We need times of prayer, of stillness, of silence, of Sabbath. We need to be reminded of our earthiness, the earthiness that reminds us we were created to love and tend God's good creation. The parable of the fig tree leaves us in suspense. After receiving the care of the gardener, will the fig tree bear fruit? How will this season of second chances play itself out? Where is the fig tree in God's life, death, resurrection story? The suspense leaves us wondering, but it also leaves us hopeful. The suspense of Lent also leaves us wondering and wandering, but it also leaves us hopeful. Where are we in God's life, death, resurrection story? What kind of change of heart is being stirred in us? How are we being nurtured and nourished to bear the fruit that comes from this whole new way of thinking and being? This Lent, as you wonder and wander, may you find the blessing of nourishing soil. May God meet you in the realness and rawness of life. May your life bear the fruit of God's life, death, resurrection story. Amen.